Broadcasting coast to coast and border to border from Memphis, Tennessee. It's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Wherever you're listening across this, the greatest nation God ever blessed, and it still is, despite attempts by some to change that, welcome to this third hour of a Wednesday edition of the Todd Starnes program. I'm Jeff Stein, filling in for Todd today. Todd is a little under the weather. I'm sure he'll be back very, very soon. I'm speaking to you from Iowa's home for the Todd Starnes Show, my home base at News Talk 1540 KXEL in Waterloo and Cedar Rapids, Iowa. The 50,000-watt blowtorch scorching Middle America with accurate news and reasonable views, and it's my privilege to be sitting here talking to Starnes Nation again today. 844-747-8868 is the phone number. Love to hear from you. We're going now to start this hour of the program, going right to the Liberty University Newsmaker line, and our guest is the founder of Papa John's International. He is John Schnatter. Papa, hello, thanks so much for being with us on the Starnes Show. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. How are you, sir?
Hey, Jeff. Thank you. Thanks for having me.
So I want to know, first of all, I don't know what we're supposed to talk about, but I want to know what you're doing these days ever since you got the raw deal that led to you leaving the company that you founded and brought to great prominence. What are you doing these days?
Well, I think you got to get ready for the next battle, and you look for opportunities. I like to be patient but opportunistic. And when that opportunity has come along, there's no greater burden than a great opportunity, and you got to take on that responsibility. And, you have to take care of your health, your mental health, your physical health, your spiritual health, and, you have to be ready for battle. So we're just getting ready for the next war.
You got, and as I said, I've suggested, I think you got a raw deal, but there are those who wanted to blame you for issues within the company, and I know that if we go to your website, which is thepapajohnschnatter.com, you're taking steps because you still care about the company and you want its reputation to be maintained, even if some in the company don't seem to feel the same way. You made a road trip recently, correct?
Yes, we visited George Mitchell over in St. Louis. George had a horrific incident happen to him multiple times. We asked Papa John's to step up to the plate, do the right thing, and they haven't done it. George has been at this 7 months. I thought one trip to St. Louis, wake-up call to Papa John's, wake-up call to the board, Shaquille O'Neal, to do right by this young man. I thought they would take action and do the right thing, and they didn't.
Well, let's talk about that in a little greater detail. What was the assertion that was made and really caught him by surprise that he was the one on the outs?
Well, if Papa John's is not careful, Jeff, George Mitchell's going to be the George Floyd of Papa John's. The similarities between my situation and his are kind of uncanny. We both have a tape that in my case, exonerates me. In his case, it definitely was a race issue with how they were treating him. They used race to hurt me, and they're using race to hurt George. And you've got an attorney for Papa John's that's trying to play the legal game and maneuver a young man, a young black man, through the system in a way where he gets a raw deal. So George is fighting a good fight. He's got the evidence. The truth is on his side. He's got four kids. He's making $11 an hour. He just wants to, he loves Papa John's, wants to do the right thing. And hopefully, sooner than later, Papa John's will step up the plate and compensate this guy for his pain and suffering.
We're speaking with John Schnatter, Papa John's founder. He's joining us on the Todd Starnes Show, Coast to Coast. Jeff Stein filling in for Todd on this Wednesday. So how did you get involved in the thing? I mean, you've got this individual who feels he's been done wrong. He does what we all tell people to do, which is to raise an issue if you're made uncomfortable at work, if you're being discriminated against because of racial issues at work. You need to raise it to superiors. He obviously got a rather unwelcome response. So how did that come to your doorstep?
Well, when I was there at Papa John's, if something like this happened, there was a sense of urgency to resolve this. And I would have been on this very, very quickly. and paid George a visit and gone over and exactly found out what happened. What happened is he had a manager who was racist in his behavior and his attitude, who also had a district manager, his supervisor, who he was fraternizing with and he was buddies with. And they kind of teamed up on George. And again, you know, George has a tape. He was mistreated. And he needs to be compensated. But when I was there, we didn't have race issues. We didn't have diversity issues. And this started back in 1718 with Steve Ritchie and the board. They've used race, as you pointed out earlier, to steal the company. It's been exacerbated with the new board and Rob Lynch. They're using, you know, it's a shield, Shaquille O'Neal. It's a figurehead. They're using him as an instrument to hide behind the fact that, yeah, they put the words on the wall. They talk diversity. They put on a show, but when it gets down to brass knuckles and grassroots and the people that wake up every day and make Papa John's great, the George Mitchells, the company kind of turns a blind eye. You know, why did I get involved? George asked me to. I checked it out. I couldn't believe Papa John's had let it gone this far. I mean, you know, he's a good man. He's been done wrong. He's got a tape. He should be compensated. And so I don't know why Papa John's has waited so long to step up the plate, except the attorney for Papa John's told George that, you know, he has thousands of cases like this, and he wins 100% of the time, and which just tells you that the race issue is systemic throughout the Papa John's organization because they have behind, you know, the system, the legal system, the criminal justice system, and they have fancy lawyers that they pay a lot of money to take advantage of folks like George Mitchell. My question, the question for the House that I have for Shaquille O'Neal is, Shaquille, you know this kid's been done wrong. Why don't you step up the plate and take action here and get this resolved? This is not hard. I mean, I get nothing out of this except the satisfaction of that we right a wrong. But I have no idea why Papa John's and Shaquille O'Neal and Rob Lynch don't take the high road and compensate this guy for the way he was treated.
Well, you didn't found this company and steer it to such great success over time just to ignore it and hope bad things happen, because I dare say there are still plenty of people, even though they may know that you have no connection with the company. I mean, that still impacts you, does it not, when they do wrong? I mean, you get no sense of vindication out of their continued bad activities.
Well, therein lies the problem. The brand is synonymous with me.
Yes.
And always has been and always probably will be. And I don't know how you take the John out of Papa John's. And when I see quality slip, I see service slip, I see standards, cleanliness slip, and then I see this kind of racism out of the company with regards to George Mitchell. I see how they use Shaquille O'Neal as an instrument, a shield, to hide, you know, what they've done. You know, they stole the company, and they used the black community to steal the company, and they tried to cover it up, pay me in the race corner, which what I said was anti-racist. You know, racism is when you judge somebody, you prejudice somebody on the basis of the color of their skin. What Papa John's has done and what this board is doing, they're actually using race. They're using the black community to advance their benefit, their income, their financial well-being. That's horrific for a company to behave this way. And as you saw with the Coke example this past week, when, you know, we have a race issue in this country. And it's got to be solved the right way and the wrong way. And Papa John's is going about it where they're going about it so wrong, they're actually promoting racism, i.e. George Mitchell.
And again, he is a black man who was the subject of hearing these words. He was uncomfortable. I assume he did what the company tells people to do. And frankly, with regard to the comment by the lawyer of they have, whatever, hundreds, thousands of these, he wins 100% of the time. Well, A, I'm a lawyer, I can tell you this. That's just bluster to try to bully someone into either going away quietly or taking a very small settlement. But if they really do have that many cases, that tells you about everything you need to know about how the company's being run right now.
Well, absolutely, and it's worse than that. Remember, George, he's making $11 an hour. He loves Papa John's. He loves his job. He's got four kids and a wife. He's just trying to do the right thing. He was just trying to do the right thing as a whistleblower to say, hey, you got a problem here. You got a guy carrying on that's not really acting in a high integrity, in a high dignity manner with regards to race. And for Papa John's to hire a lawyer, and it gets worse with the lawyer. Hey, he's made the threat of, listen, I'm gonna kick your butt because you don't have the resources. This past week, Papa John's moved the venue from a favorable court, I think a man of color, to an unfavorable jurisdiction. So they're trying to maneuver the legal and PR game when instead of doing the right thing by walking the diversity talk. They just don't walk the talk. But this lawyer for Papa John is just beat on this poor kid to death. And, you know, Georgia's got a good lawyer, Rick. He's got a great case. It's ironclad. I looked at this six ways to Sunday. What happened to George is racist. It's wrong. The company simply needs to cut him a check and resolve this issue and move on to bigger and better days.
The company all really ought to do is give him a franchise and let them really show that they reward people who care about the brand.
Well, I always had a saying, Papa John's. It wasn't saying it was people are priority one always. It's people first. And this is a situation where Papa John's has got so caught up in stock price and stock options that they are not walking the talk with diversity or quality or service. I got a call just this week from the head of development, who's in his 50s, got prostate cancer, got other health issues, diabetes, et cetera. Papa John's cut off his insurance and cut him out of over $200,000 worth of options, and he's been there 21 years, and I can vouch for the guy. He's a good guy. It's no longer people are first or people count or people are an asset. It's the people are objects of self-gain. They're disposable. We can get rid of them as long as we get in Don Graham's case, the $200,000 worth of options and get rid of a guy, don't relocate in Atlanta. In George Mitchell's case, his case probably be worth $1 million. I don't know why they don't settle this and get this behind them, because they're in the wrong.
Well, I really appreciate you standing up for this. Again, it'd been very easy just to kind of shrink into the background, but there are some things that are more important than that, standing up for what's right. So, John Schnatter, Papa, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to America on the Todd Starnes Show, and keep speaking up about such things, if you would, please.
Okay, Jeff, thank you, and give Todd my best. Have a great day.
You do the same, sir. John Schnatter. ThePapaJohnSchnatter.com is his website, and you can learn more. There are links right there about the whole thing. And he still has a financial interest in the company. You want to see what you created be done, you know, have them do the right thing. It works good for business. It's good for karma. But I can tell you what brand of pizza I'm not eating tonight. Literally, I think we were going to have pizza at home. It's not going to be that. All right, 844-747-8868. Same number you always use when TS is here, and I'd love to hear from you in the next segment. Jennifer Kearns of All American Radio joins us at the bottom of the hour. Hopefully you'll join us next after this short break. I'm Jeff Stein in for Todd, and this is the Todd Starnes Show.
From the front lines of the culture war, it's Todd Starnes.
Back to the Todd Starnes program. Hello, I'm Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. 844-747-8868 is the number. That's how you can reach us. Of course, the program is streaming at toddstarnes.com. You can follow Todd on Twitter and Parler at Todd Starnes. You can follow me at Twitter, Instagram, and Parler at Iowa, I-O-W-A, Iowa Politics. And of course, the website is totallyiowa.com just after the bottom of the hour. Jennifer Kearns of All American Radio joins us to talk about the news of the day, including some trouble for some Biden cabinet nominees. Oh, goodness, you mean this cabinet that looks just like America might not really be qualified to do their jobs? Oh, heavens, that certainly isn't the case. Todd may be off today, but he is updating ToddStarnes.com with articles, one right now up there about Liz Cheney and her goal to destroy the Republican Party. You'll want to take a look at that as well. All right, so I mentioned this if you were with us in the last hour, but today is an anniversary of a legal decision, U.S. Supreme Court case Tinker versus Des Moines Schools. And this is the legendary language where the justices ruled that the First Amendment does apply to public schools. and administrators of those public schools have to show valid reasons for stifling speech. What might that be? True fear of physical violence. True fear of classroom disruption. This case had to do with a couple of teenagers who wore black armbands with a peace sign on it in 1965 protesting the Vietnam War. That was it. Quiet protest. They wore black armbands. School officials suspended them. Well, first they hurried up and put a rule in place saying no black armbands. And then they wound up suspending them when the individuals wore the armbands. That was in December of 1965. On February 24th of 1969, 7-2 vote, U.S. Supreme Court said, students and teachers do not shed their constitutional rights at the schoolhouse gate. I wonder how that decision plays in this world of cancel culture today. Would this case be decided that way? Because if those who control the outlets don't agree with your speech, well, sorry, you don't get to speak. That's all there is to it. No social media for you. We'll make sure that your cable news channels, if you're not going along with the party line, then we're going to hold hearings, and we, as members of Congress, we're going to ask these satellite providers who live and die based on the exemptions we give them, we're going to ask them why they're carrying these channels and suggest it'd be really good if they could get rid of Newsmax and Fox News Channel and One America Network and Real America's Voice and anybody we don't agree with. And if you don't think that's what's going on, well, as I've mentioned, go check President Trump's Twitter account. Oh, no, you can't. Go check Mike Lindell's social. No, you can't. This stuff is happening, and they're making no bones about it. I think that's what's the most scary thing about all of this. They're making no bones about it. Elections have consequences. Speak up now. Speak up now for election integrity. Speak up to your member of Congress, your member of a state legislature, your member of a school board. This is not the time to be silent. Again, it's called respectful discourse. It's called conversation. It's not called storming buildings. But it is also called, if you remain silent now, you may not have a voice in the future. It's already being taken away. Coca-Cola, Papa John Schnatter. I'm not sure it's legal to call him Papa John anymore, so that's why I'm pausing. Papa John Schnatter, in our last segment, talked about the stuff with Coca-Cola. Yeah, like I'm going to buy a Coke. But I had a friend who sent me an image of, you know, around the wintertime, they have the polar bears sitting there, and they're all sitting there with their bottles of Coke, and the caption reads, "The polar bears are learning how to be less white at a Coca-Cola diversity seminar." Yeah, you're going to use the polar bears? They're pretty white. Coke. Brilliant people there at... Where's a new Coke? I'll have to go to the vending machine on this break. Jeff Stein in for Todd on the Todd Starn Show. Welcome back to the Todd Starn Show. On the radio, coast to coast, online at toddstarns.com. And you can always check out all 3 hours of the program by going to the Toddcast. It's posted later in the same day. Share it, download it, listen over and over at toddstarns.com. I'm looking forward to this next conversation because I have been a fan of this woman's work for some time. She is the host of the nationally syndicated program All American Radio. AllAmericanRadio.com is the website. She's Jennifer Kearns. Jennifer, Jeff Stein filling in for Todd. Thanks so much for taking the time today. How are you?
Hey, I was just about to say I'm a big fan of yours. Thanks for having me on.
But I said it first.
You did. You beat me to it.
All right, let's get down to really important stuff. The Biden cabinet, I mean, this is a serious setback for them that the OMB director designate's vote was to be taken, then all of a sudden, oops, we can't rig this ballot box, and so they've changed the date. How do you read this?
Well, look, any time in politics, and especially in government, and especially in a new government, the first 100 days of your administration, and I've worked in state-level administrations in one of the largest states, California, for a gubernatorial administration. Anytime something doesn't go according to the calendar, trust me, it's always bad news because, you know, you want to get those appointees through the process as quickly as possible. And it's interesting here that the choices that Biden has chosen to put forth, keep in mind, Jeff, you put your best appointees up first. You put up your appointees who are going to be the easiest to appoint, right, because you want some early victories. So the fact that the Biden administration is already having great scrutiny for the OMB appointee is very bad news for the Biden administration. And the fact that Merrick Garland is finally getting the roasting and the grilling that he deserves also does not bode well for the first 100 days of the Biden administration.
And then you have Jen Psaki talking about how strongly the administration is still behind this nomination. That's sort of like the baseball team owner saying the manager's job is safe just as he's about to fire the manager. So how do they gracefully exit out of this one if, in fact, they don't have the votes? Or do they just force people to walk the plank and vote and put it on the record?
Oh, no, I don't think they'll let it get that far. In fact, I think you see exactly what their playbook is. They go back to COVID every single time, which is a travesty. That is a serious health crisis in America for hundreds of thousands of people so far. Look no further than their immigration excuses. We saw Jen Psaki yesterday defending putting kids in cages. And she said, no, it's not the same as during the Trump administration. It's not the same as during the Biden or during the Obama-Biden administration. This is different because these are kids in cages during COVID. I mean, it sounds like a bad Jerry Seinfeld Netflix series, right? I mean, all of this is proof that it is so easy to throw rocks at people when you're running as a candidate. They threw rocks at Donald Trump for 4 years over his efforts to slow the illegal immigration, to help determine which kids were here as actual kids and which were actually gang members trying to infiltrate our border. It's a lot easier to throw rocks than it is to actually solve those hard policy problems, and the Biden administration is really starting to find that out.
And once again, when the press secretary says, and I believe this is the direct quote, "It was never our intention to have these children being housed this way, like the last administration." Well, I'm sure it wasn't your intention, but governing is hard work. You can't just campaign.
And Jeff, you noticed Jen Psaki, the press secretary, also said this, again, using COVID as an excuse. She said, well, we have to have them in these detention centers. We have to have them separated by these, you know, fences. Even though they talked about not having fences for 4 years. But look, she said, we have to have them in these facilities because COVID is so dangerous. Well, look what the Democrats did over the last year in big cities across the country. They let prisoners out of detention centers. They let convicted felons out of convention centers, citing COVID. So it's interesting how they're using COVID as the convenient excuse. Whichever way they want the policy to go, you can be sure that the Biden administration is going to continue to use COVID as an excuse. And that is shameless. That is just shameless. It shows no creativity on their part. And it's really offensive to the hundreds of thousands of people who've actually have died of COVID.
Walls are terrible unless we're members of Congress and we want walls. Jennifer Kearns joining us on the Todd Starnes Show. She, of course, is the host of All American Radio. Go online, allamericanradio.com. I love Louisiana Senator Kennedy for a number of reasons, but this is his quote today on the tandem OMB nomination. His quote, "I'm not saying she's a smoked turkey, but the smoker is warming up." I mean, that's outstanding, right? I mean, that's just... All right, so I did see something.
It's good Southern wisdom. I mean, it's the green egg. It's warming up. It's true.
That's it. All right, so I did see something on the socials where there was a caution. Let's be careful about not using all of the energy against Neera Tanden. That's bad enough, but hey, Becerra, he's the one who truly is the one we have to watch out for. His nomination is certainly no slam dunk by any stretch as people across the country start learning about his record.
Oh, you're absolutely right, Jeff. Look, Becerra was Attorney General of the state of California, a place I lived and worked for over 15 years. This is the most radical politician in America, even above Kamala Harris, who was ranked the most liberal member of the U.S. Senate, even above Andrew Cuomo. I mean, Becerra is a person who does not respect borders, language, culture, law and order, even though he was the chief law enforcement officer of the state of California. And he was actually the first person in the country who started pushing the absentee ballots as a way for the Democrats to win in the 2020 elections. He is bad news. He started the whole compulsory voter registration. They tried to register illegal immigrants, something that one of my friends and colleagues, Harmeet Dhillon, was able to slap down. But boy, you just won't find a more radical figure than Becerra. And I think his confirmation is going to be a pretty sticky wicket.
I saw something that apparently, you know, if he leaves California, then the AG job is open there. And now one of the vice president's in-laws is in line under serious consideration. I mean, this crew, as to use your phrase earlier, they're just shameless.
They really are. Look, you already have Gavin Newsom, who is a long-lost relative of Nancy Pelosi. You see how the state of California is not flourishing under its current leadership. You know, people are moving out of the state in record numbers. People, you know, just look at the U-Haul reservations on the one-way trips out of California. But the Democrats just don't learn. They're going to continue to put these radical leftists into these seats in the state of California. And I think there is a change afoot. You look at the recall effort against Gavin Newsom. They are set to turn in their signatures any day now. And then the next recall that is afoot, which is pretty exciting, is the L.A. district attorney, the radical George Gascon. The L.A. voters there are not too happy, and they want a refund. They said they didn't know exactly how liberal and how radical this guy was before they put him in office. So Gavin recall up first, but I'm telling you, Jeff, there's one right behind it, and that's going to be pretty exciting.
Do the Republicans, Jennifer, have a good candidate or a good base of candidates who can take over if Newsom is tossed out? I mean, because that's the, you know, with any election, we talked about it earlier today, you got to make the case to get rid of the incumbent, in essence, but then you've got to be able to say, well, this is much better. All right. Do the Republicans have their ducks in a row on somebody who's much better?
They are getting there. And you touched on the billion-dollar question. So remember back in 2003, in the recall of Gray Davis, which I was involved in, that was my first foray into politics. You know, you have that two-part question on the ballot. I call it the Helen Thomas ballot box question. Number one, you have to say yes or no on recall. And then number two, you have to fill in the blank or check the box for whom you want to backfill that position. The GOP is doing a fantastic job. A friend of mine, Jessica Patterson, is at the helm. She is tremendous. She is a worker and a doer. I love her. She rolls up her sleeves. She does the work. The candidates aren't quite all there yet. There's a businessman, John Cox, who I like very much. He's got a backbone. He does not cave to criticism. You have Kevin Faulkner, former mayor of San Diego. He's a little more moderate, so he plays to a different portion. But look, I think there could still be some great people get in. How about Dean Cain, the former Superman?
Yes.
How about Chris Pratt? How about Chris Pratt, who is a Christian and a conservative, and by the way, married to a member of the Schwarzenegger/Shriver/Kennedy family? They are young, they are hip, they would be a great first couple for the state of California. And then there's other people like Scott Baio. Look, in 2003, there were 199 candidates on the ballot. I don't think we'll have that many, but we should be able to have more and get more creative about who should be on that ballot.
Jennifer Kern, she is host of All American Radio. You hear it all over the country. And if you need a spot, go to the Mighty 990, flagship of this program, Mighty990.com in Memphis. She is on the interwebs at allamericanradio.com. I was stumbling there because I was trying to cite this next part accurately. And I didn't ask you what you wanted to talk about, so feel free to pipe up. But I'd like to talk about the Biden administration because, you know, masks solve everything. So they're now going to deliver 25 million masks to health centers in communities hit hard by the pandemic. Apparently, they just want to make the whole thing worse, right? Here's your mask. Now everything is fine. Despite the fact that I got an email today from a doctor here in my home area who's willing to come on the radio and talk about how masks actually run the risk of spreading more disease than helping prevent the COVID situation. I mean, this again is just the, well, put on a mask, it'll be fine. And do it as long as we say so, because that gives us control.
Yeah, you know, the control issue is really what this is all about. And I have to tell you, I'm actually okay with wearing a mask. My conservative friends, they give me such grief over this. They're like, why are you wearing a mask? But that's just me. I have a respiratory issue longstanding from a car accident years ago. So that's my personal choice. But look, here's what this is really about. And here's what makes me so angry. That is, the CDC could not have gotten it more wrong in the beginning, right? Remember this time last year, they said, oh, no need to wear a mask because that'll just make everybody panic. And then they came back 6 weeks later and said, oh, actually, sorry, you do need to wear a mask. Now that Biden's in office and he's double masking, suddenly that is now the policy of the CDC. I mean, it is laughable. So look, they don't know what they're doing. I always say, to people, your personal health is your own responsibility. As Americans, we have to step up and take control and take personal responsibility for that. So do what you like, you know, and stay healthy and keep your friends and family healthy. But it's so clear that the CDC never had a handle on this from the beginning. And that's just disappointing as an American taxpayer and an American who really wants the country reopened safely and securely. But I want it reopened. I mean, we were told to stop the spread for 14 days. You know, it's been over 342 days now since we were asked to do that. That is a travesty. That is an offense to every single American who wants to get out there and work and get their kids back to school and get back to a healthy life. That is a major failure on the part of the CDC. There should be a full change at the CDC, but unfortunately, because of Biden, there won't be.
And you made the point, and it's a perfect one. I am not in a high-risk category, either because of age or health. I don't hang around with old people. Sadly, I don't have elderly relatives anymore. So from the statistical perspective, you know, I don't feel the need to wear a mask, but I respect anyone who does. And obviously, as you mentioned, you've got some respiratory. Oh, sure. But I don't want the government telling me. That's the key. And right, that's the key point of what you made. It should be our choice, should it not?
Yeah, absolutely. I do. You look at people who live in Asian countries. I have a lot of friends in New York City who grew up in China. They're used to respiratory pandemics. It was a natural part of life growing up. They throw on a mask because that's what they're used to, not because anybody here told them to. And that's the way we should be living. By the way, the vaccine should be the same. I'm a little different on the vaccine. I'm not going to get it. A lot of my, you know, elderly relatives are, but me personally, I have a lot of life left to live, and I just don't know what the side effects are. And we should not ever in this country require people to have to show papers like we're living in East Berlin to get through, you know, passage points in the U.S. So I hope it doesn't come to that. I'm hearing some reports through airports in the country. I talked to people all over the country. They said that the Biden administration has some bigger plans for restricting travel. So I think there's more to come on this front.
Your new website is allamericannews.com. You are still on the Twitter machine. I say still because they haven't caught on to you yet. At AllAmericanJen. Jennifer Kearns, thanks so much for taking the time. As you know from your hosting of the All American Radio Show, I've blown through the format and I'm way late on the break. Thank you so much for taking the time to be with Starnes Nation today. Good to talk with you.
You too. Bye.
Jennifer Kearns, All American Radio, AllAmericanNews.com. Final segment of this Wednesday edition of the program coming up, 844-747-8868. Jeff Stein in for Todd. This is the Todd Starnes Show.
It's Radio Free America. Todd Starnes.
final segment of the Todd Starn Show for this Wednesday. Todd is a bit under the weather. He sent an email this morning asking if I'd fill in, and it is always a privilege to do so, to talk with you great folks in Starn's Nation. I'm Jeff Stein from News Talk 1540 KXEL in Waterloo and Cedar Rapids, Iowa. Todd Starn's Show, home in the state of Iowa, my station. Go to ToddStarns.com, also Twitter and Parler at Todd Starns. I am at Twitter, Instagram, and Parler at Iowa Politics, and my website is totallyiowa.com. We've talked about so many things here today that, again, let us know the bad things that are happening. All right, and we just had a great conversation with Jennifer Kearns of All American Radio. AllAmericanNews.com is the great new website she rolled out just a couple of weeks ago. We have to point out the hypocrisy when it's there. We have to point out the logical implications of bad things that others are doing to our nation. But that's the starting point. We have to make you aware of it. And if there's a way to do it in a somewhat entertaining fashion, sort of like, can you believe what these idiots are doing and the shamelessness of it? Well, that's what we do to make the point. But you have to get to solutions. You have to get to action. And right now, your action point is letting people know how you feel. It is a step. It is a first step. It's not a small step either. I know you're afraid if you start emailing your legislators, your members of Congress, your, whatever, school board members, anything, all right? When you reach out to them, you send them an email, you say, oh, I'm not sure I want to do this. I don't want to get on a list. I don't want them to start calling me. I don't want them to start emailing me. Okay, that's fine. Don't use your voice. But if you don't use your voice, you're going to lose it. This is no time to be silent. And again, I'm not talking about storming buildings. I'm talking about standing up for what you believe in. And if you have to delete a fundraising email from a congressman, then just do it. Or else we won't be able to any longer. What a great privilege. Todd, thank you. Team Starnes, thank you for all of your help. Jeff Stein filling in for TS. Appreciate you being along on this edition of the Todd Starnes Show.